Welcome to the Indisposable Podcast, produced by Upstream and supported this season by Patagonia. I'm your host, Brookine Gatewood. Thanks for joining for another episode celebrating solutions to plastic pollution. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Indisposable Podcast. This is Brookine, and today I am here with Chloe Vichot, who is the founder of Ancoli and Fresh Bowl, two of the most innovative plastic-free food enterprises in the U.S. that I know of, at least. Greenwich Village-based Ancoli is one of only three restaurants in New York City with a four-star Green Restaurant Association rating, and they provide wholesome, delicious, home-cooked meals that are convenient, sustainable, and our favorite part plastic-free. And the restaurant's popularity has Chloe branching out in all sorts of new directions, including fresh bowl vending machines, which we will hear all about in today's episode. So Chloe, thank you so much for making the time to share a bit of your story here with us today.
Of course. Thanks, Brookine, for having me.
Yeah. So my understanding, doing a little sleuthing as I often do, is you grew up in France and you started your career in finance. And tell us a little bit about your transition to the U.S. and to the world of culinary culture.
Sure. I think that growing up in France, I was naturally passionate and drawn around food. All my memories as a child and all my favorite moments were around good food and good wine with friends and family. So that was something that was very important. When I graduated high school, my dream was to open a restaurant. But at the time, even if it's hard to believe for someone growing up in France, that was not something very typical that people did. So my parents also that were entrepreneurs really advised me to go in a big corporation and have a steady income. So I went to business school, studied finance, and that's how I moved to New York initially in 2005. It was supposed to be for an 18-month internship in a French bank, and now it's been 14 years. So I loved it so much that I managed to stay. And the transition from finance to food was when I finally got my green card, I thought that it was time to really stop thinking about what I really wanted to do and what was my passion. So I re-examined the whole food idea and opening a restaurant. I took some cooking classes. I did a culinary management degree, and I was finally able to open Ancoli 3 years ago.
And, you know, we got to talk a little bit before today's episode, and one of the things you said that really stood out to me was that when you moved to the U.S., you realized that just growing up in France essentially meant you were an environmentalist from a food perspective. Tell us a little bit about that learning journey.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was not food. It was in general. I didn't realize that all those little steps and things my parents had us do as kids, like turning off the water when you brush your teeth, switching off the light when you leave a room, buying in local markets, doing all those things. I just thought that was normal. And then when I moved to New York and realized that not everybody was doing that, I realized that, you know, it was completely different. And I would go and buy my lunch in this plastic bowl and throw it away. And that was something that was really bothering me. Like the takeout industry has grown a lot since I left, but at that point in France was not that big. So people would actually go and sit down in a restaurant for lunch. Even if they would eat quickly, they would take an actual break. So all those like to-go cups and to-go meals was not something that I had a big experience of.
Mm-hmm. From what I understand about Ancoli, that principle is being applied in how you operate the store, but you do have a to-go option. It's just a reusable to-go option. Tell us a little bit about how that works.
Yes, absolutely. So Ancoli, we opened Ancoli 3 years ago. It's our to-go coffee shop in the West Village. We have 10 seats, so it's a relatively limited seating. Most of the transactions are done to-go. All the food to-go comes in reusable glass jars, and every jar has a $2 deposit. So when you're done eating, you can either keep the jar and reuse it. If you bring it back to us, we'll give you a $2 credit on your next purchase.
And what have you found in terms of customer behavior with bringing the jars back?
So it was a learning process. We used to have a $1 deposit. And when we had that the first year, we had a 27% return rate for every jar. When we increased it to $2 last year, and this year we saw an increase to 40% return. So people were clearly more inclined with having a higher dollar value attached to the jar, and also being more used to the whole process. So what also happens is the first one or two times people keep their jar because they keep it at home. And then once they come back, like the food and start coming to the store, they don't want to have a whole shelf full of jars. So they start getting into the process of returning it and participating to the movement. And they get very excited. Like, I really see the smile on people's face when they arrive to the store. Even if they don't buy anything and they give us the jar back, we give them a $2 token that they can use for their next purchase. They get really excited that they did something good for the environment at the same time as saving money.
Mm. Yeah. So my understanding is, you know, as this store has grown in popularity, you've become a bit of a spokesperson for these sustainable approaches. And then you've taken on a new venture, a very ambitious vending machine project with Fresh Bowl. Tell us a little bit about the story of how that idea came to be and where you're at now with the launch.
Absolutely. So I met Fresh Bowl co-founder Zach, my business partner, a year and a half ago, and he approached me about having our food in vending machine. And I thought that was a very exciting project because at that time, which was roughly a year and a half in being in the business, I thought that I would have in my initial business plan for Hoodie that I would grow from one to two or maybe three locations by that time. What I realized was that the build-out costs, the training of the staff, and the fact of having skilled people at the store all the time was very challenging. So having this option of having more location, giving more access to healthy and sustainable options to New Yorker was very exciting. And at the same time, that was one way to grow my idea, again, of bringing healthy and sustainable options to more people. So I was very excited about that. It took us a while to build the perfect machine. We've been running a test in WeWork for the past 6 months, and we're about to launch in three more locations within the next few weeks.
Wow. So what have you learned from the test process? I'm so curious. I've seen some vending machines popping up here in Los Angeles where I live that are, you know, unusual different products, but not yet a reusable fresh food one. So I imagine there's been some logistical challenges and all sorts of learning adventures.
Absolutely. So we're clearly the first one that does reusable food in glass jars. So we keep the same concept that we had at Ancoli where people would return the jar and have a $2 credit. We're still in the process of having the whole app and return mechanism ironed out, but it's been very exciting. What we do see is, especially in the WeWork, since we're in a closed office location, our return rate increased from 40% at the store to 80% in this closed location because it's very convenient for people on their way out. They don't even have to leave the building to return their jar. So that has been very exciting because people love the idea of doing something good and just returning their jar instead of letting it sit on their desk being dirty. And since January 1st, WeWork has banned all the disposable utensils. So they also have real forks, real cups. So that is really helping in the whole story of using reusable and bringing it back to the source. So that has been very helpful for us for sure.
How do you actually, like, what are the mechanics of taking a glass ball jar, I'm assuming, and returning it to a vending machine and getting a token back? How does that work?
So the way it works is the vending machine is like any vending machine. When you buy the item, we have a great screen that has all the information. The part that has all the food that we restock every morning, of course, has a little elevator that's going to move up, take your jar, take it down, and bring it to where you're going to be able to grab the food and take it to your desk. And when you're done eating, you're going to be able to scan the barcode on the top of the jar. That's going to open a locker where you're going to put the jar. And you'll have a code that you can either remember, or if you give your cell phone number, we'll store it for you. And next time you come and you put your cell phone number, you can use your credit.
Cool. And then you guys wash the jars again, and you have a, I'm guessing, some like a home kitchen offsite, and then travel around the city filling the vending machines.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So right now, everything is still made from our kitchen at Angoli. We're transitioning to a commercial kitchen. Every morning when we come and restock the jars, we take all the empty ones from the day before, we wash them, sanitize them, and then we refill them with fresh food that we restock the next morning. So every day we restock fresh food. Every day we make sure that the machine has all the good products, that everything is fresh. And people see that we come and they see that it's empty at the end of the day and full in the morning. So they really see that this is, even though it's a vending machine and we don't have staff there at every second, they see that it's been touched in that morning and it's been restocked.
Mm. And you also source locally from ingredients, right? You work with local farms and...
Absolutely. So all the lettuce we buy, for example, comes from Gotam Greens, and it's a 15 miles radius from their farm to our kitchen. So it's a hydroponic farm that's on a rooftop in Brooklyn. It's amazing. I think it's the best quality lettuce I've ever found. Mm. And, you know, most of the lettuce that's available in the U.S. come from the middle of the country. So they've been traveling in a truck and they've been sitting for a long time, whereas the one we get on Monday morning was picked the day before. So it's always the freshest we can get. So that's very exciting. We work with local farms around New York State for the other ingredients. For example, in the store, all of the milk that we use comes in glass bottle that we send back to the farm also on a weekly basis at every delivery. So we really try to be as local as possible, and while we're being local, to stay as sustainable as possible, because one of the big challenge when you have a restaurant and when you're operating a kitchen is that the people that you work with don't necessarily care about our sustainability values. And right now we're so small that it's hard to dictate the rules, how we want to be delivered. So finding partners that are willing to work with us is very exciting.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I'm literally seeing this community in my mind as you're describing, just going around the neighborhood, getting the ingredients and stocking up the vending machines. And it's so great. I'm curious to hear a little about what your vision is. So you've got your first vending machine in place, and then you say three more coming out just in the next few weeks. And then, you know, what's your dream for where this could go next?
I mean, my dream is to make sure, one, that in New York, it's becoming very easy and convenient for people to grab a salad anywhere and to be able to buy food without disposable packaging. I see it myself personally. I find it very challenging. I was visiting space in Brooklyn with my brother earlier today. We wanted to grab lunch. Everything came in plastic. You know, we decided to wait and go somewhere else to grab a meal because it was very difficult to take it to go. So my hope is that, you know, within the next 18 months to 2 years, we'll be located in convenient location for everybody to be able to buy a salad midtown, know they're going downtown for a meeting, and know that they're going to be able to drop off the jar. And the fact that they have this glass jar is not something cumbersome, but it's something very easy, and that they can feel good about returning it no matter where they go. So that's really my dream, and that's really what I'm hoping for. And as we grow New York and we get more and more location, I'm hoping that we can bring that to other markets so that we can have more and more people excited about what we do. I know that the West Coast, LA, San Francisco would be very excited. LA really for the health benefits of the food that we offer, San Francisco for the sustainability aspect of what we do. And I think that a lot of cities could really benefit of what we're doing. So I'm very excited about that.
You know, I work on another project that focuses on diabetes, and there's this emerging theme around food as medicine in the healthcare space. And I wonder, I'm imagining having these kinds of vending machines in hospitals, for example, where people really need nourishing food and unfortunately don't often have access to it.
Absolutely. If you work in a hospital and listen to this podcast, please give us a call. Hospital is clearly very big on our list of our next locations. The next three that I mentioned, we're looking at a subway station, we're looking at two office spaces, but we want to be also in hospitals and college campuses. And I agree with you. I think when you go to a hospital, either because you're sick or because you're visiting someone that is there, the food options are really not good. And we want to, and those are the people that really need to be fed healthy and clean ingredients. So what we're doing is really talking to these demographics. So I'm really hoping that we'll be able to open in a hospital very soon.
Yeah, me too. It's so exciting. You know, I imagine and I'm hoping that this idea is going to catch on and scale. What do you see as some of the challenges to scaling and growing the vision?
I think for me, the vision is, as I mentioned before, is education and building a community. I think we were very lucky that people in our street got really excited about what we were doing, came to the store, returned their jar. I'm seeing more and more catering requests for office lunches or events where people are looking for zero waste catering. So I think that this is very encouraging. I know that from a co-packer's perspective, what I've heard so far is it's very hard to find people that are willing to pack food in glass. So I'm sure that's another reason why not a lot of other people are doing it. But I think that this is changing. I think that And what I really appreciate is it's changing at a lot of different levels. It's changing at an individual level, but it's also changing at a corporate CEO and boardroom level. Like, companies are starting to worry about it. People that we go and talk to about the vending machine are very excited to bring a sustainable option for their tenant and for their employees. And I think that that shows that we're going in the right direction. And I find this very positive.
Yeah, I saw you said on your website that your goal is to become one of the many, and that more and more business leaders take on this challenge of trying to operate in a sustainable for the planet and for our bodies way.
Yes, I mean, plastic and disposable is a global problem, and I'm not going to be able to tackle that problem alone. I think we have one of the solutions, as many others, but the more and more restaurants, to-go places start to use glass or start to use other material that are reusable, or even just accept them. Like, if you go to a place and you bring your own bowl, the fact that they can fill it for you would make a big difference. And they are allowed to do it. The problem is people don't know what the regulations are and they're afraid to be sued. So they don't let you do it. Mm-hmm. But they are allowed to do it. So I feel that, you know, I would love for regulation to force people to accept reusable packaging. I think that would be very important and it's very easy to implement. I think that it's coming in New York. I don't know what's the situation in LA, but making sure that every single restaurant composts their food scrap is very, very important. And again, it's not complicated to do. So there's a lot of little steps that can be taken that would make a huge difference. And again, the more people we see carrying reusable tote bags, reusable coffee cups, little by little, people are going to say no to plastic straw. People are going to see that this is something that we can no longer offer and they need to find a solution. And I feel that this is very important.
Mm. Yeah, I have a feeling you're going to be very busy very soon if you're not already with my fresh. It's called Fresh Bowl, but the website is myfreshbowl.com, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And for those who are based in New York, you can go to that website to find out the locations. What's the subway stop that you'll be serving at?
We're going to be in the Felton subway station.
Felton?
Felton, yes. Next to the Oculus and the World Trade Center. So a very busy area.
Okay, so for all our listeners, if you're in New York after June 2019, check it out. Is there anything else that you want to be able to speak to that we haven't touched on?
No, I don't think we've missed anything. I think my only, you know, sustainability advice or, you know, takeaway that I like people to take from this conversation is start small. So start with something that you can do, and maybe you bring plastic bottle to work every day, buy a reusable water bottle and use it every day. Or maybe, you know, like most of us women, you have a purse and you can actually put a tote bag in it. So every time you go grocery shopping, you can take it out and put your groceries in it. And you know, you're not going to be able to change everything overnight. And yes, being sustainable and being careful about your footprint takes some planning, because you need to know that you're going to go and grab coffee and you need to have your cup, or you know that you're going to drink water and you have to have your water with you. But I think that starting with things that you do every day and seeing the impact it has, and saying no to things you don't need. So when you're just buying one item, saying no to a plastic bag or saying no to a napkin or saying no to a fork makes a big difference, because it adds up at the end of the day. So I feel that too often people think that they cannot make a difference themselves, but the answer is they can. And it starts with very little steps.
Mm. And you also mentioned the policy piece earlier, that when elections are coming up and just paying attention to what's going on in your city and getting involved with it, there are efforts in cities all over the U.S. right now, at least, to try to come together and create new sorts of legislation, like the one that recently passed in Berkeley, banning disposable products. And those sorts of legislations can make businesses like Chloe's sustainable financially as well.
Yes, for me, that's very exciting. I mean, New York is trying to take a lot of steps as well. I think California is ahead of the game for sure. France and Europe is doing a lot of things. So that is very motivating. I see a lot of things that are moving. And again, yes, the policies are super, super important and it helps make a big push. But I think the individual level was what really helped us to get where we are today. So we need to keep that in mind as well. Absolutely.
Mm. Great. Well, thank you so much for speaking with us and sharing a bit about your story, and just for taking the leap of faith in your own life to start this business and to show those of us who grew up in American culture how simple in a certain way and beautiful and healthy and wholesome it can be to eat a meal at a place like Ancolia Fresh Bowl. So thanks for all you've done and all you've brought.
Of course. And last thing I'm going to add is that we're just going back to the way our grandparents used to eat. So we're not doing something revolutionary. That's how it was done for a very long time. We're just going back to that, trying to forget what plastic was. And my dream is that my kids one day ask me, what was this weird thing that you had back in the days? Was it plastic? And I'm sure we're going to get there. So that makes me very happy.
Yes, I hope so too. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. Bye, Brooke, and have a great day. Bye-bye.
And that's our show. If you like what you're hearing, help spread the word. Subscribe to the Indisposable Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Add a review, talk us up, try our 5-friend challenge. Share some highlights from today's show with a handful of people in your life who could use an uplift. Nobody spreads a message like you. The Indisposable Podcast is brought to you by Upstream, sparking innovative solutions to plastic pollution, envisioning a world without it, and empowering businesses, communities, and individuals to imagine and co-create this future with us. You can find resources mentioned on today's episode, as well as learn more about Upstream's work at www.upstreamsolutions.org. Follow us on social, support us on Patreon, and join the movement. There's a better way than throwaway.